Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
So here we go. Recording.
Yes, indeed. Hello, hello, listeners. It's time for another dose of Homo sapiens. Thank God you've waited all week.
Hello, I'm Alan Cumming.
I'm Christopher Sweeney.
And we may have oceans separating us, but we are together in our hearts to present to you another scintillating and fascinating interview. I'm actually really excited about this interview.
Me too. You're excited about something else though, Alan, aren't you? You're just telling me.
Well, yes, whilst we were chatting before we came on air, there was a knock at my door, a rare thing, and a car arrived up here in Canada, where I'm filming. My car came, my rental car.
Did you get a choice of what they give you?
No, I didn't, but it's a nice, it's sort of silver, I can see it out the door. Oh, it's a Dimpler, is that right? A Dimpler. Impala, sorry.
I'll take the Dimpler. I'm going to quote Pretty Woman and say, I bet it crawls like it's on rails.
that,
do you remember?
No, I don't. It's so funny. I can never remember lines from films, even films that I'm
can
in.
Can you not?
Also, the other good news, oh, not good news, the other news is that it's still raining here. Surprise, surprise. Ah. It's still raining here. And guess who doesn't like that?
Lala.
Correct. It's very difficult to get Miss Lala to do her morning ablutions. In fact, one part of her ablution has not been achieved this morning due to the torrential rain. So there might be an emergency little exit during our interview with the lovely Liz Carr.
Oh,
nice,
yes.
Nice segue. Smooth.
That's a beautiful. I think it's what Liz would have wanted. talking about Lala having a poo to the inimitable Liz Carr, actor, comedian, disability rights activist.
I know she's just against assisted suicide activist.
So many fascinating things to say about assisted suicide. And
yes.
Actually, the first thing I saw of hers was she did this thing called Assisted Suicide the Musical, which is just the most hilarious title ever. It was a lot of glitter and like she's just very funny. And I love people who can sort of take serious topics and make a point while making everybody laugh, and you know, she's so
that's what it's all about.
And she said once, she said this thing once to us when we've been wanting to have her on the podcast for literally years, and she said, what is it about? And I said, oh, we kind of call it like the Queer Women's Hour. And she said, well, I hope it's a bit less pashmina than Women's Hour.
And I have to say, only marginally.
Yeah.
Can't wait. I'm really excited to meet and talk to Liz. Hope you are too, listeners.
Obviously, lockdown, no, you don't speak to anyone. So, you know, excuse me if I talk too much because it's like, it's company. There's humans there. What the fuck?
So, yes.
Yeah.
We're actually bots.
Yeah.
I don't care. I'm not picky.
I have to say, the first thing is I'm loving your background. Is that feathers on your wall?
So it's feathers on the back of the wheelchair.
Absolutely. Oh, even
Showgirl
better.
Feathers.
Oh,
yeah.
I like
wow.
it.
Thank you. From my cabaret and cryptease days. I thought a bit of glamour you would appreciate.
Yes.
And then behind on my right, I have my Dolly Parton display plate, fancy plate.
Wow. Can't tell if Liz is a fan of camp or not. I just can't work it out.
Well, I don't know if you can see from there, but I've also got two pillar candles with the patron saints of Schitt's Creek on the
oh, wicked.
Oh,
wow.
Yes.
Isn't that great?
Comedy doesn't make me laugh too, you know, often. But Schitt's Creek just did, eventually.
Yeah. Eventually.
Liz, when did people start telling you were funny? When did you know you were funny?
Well, they were laughing at me, but I didn't know if that was because I was a crit or not. It's fine for me to say that, by the way. It's for disability.
Yeah.
So, yes, it's really hard when people do have weird views of you and stare at you and laugh at you as well. I mean, you know, they do, and they still do to this day. I think to survive, you almost become a show off. Mm-hmm. And for attention and the right kind of attention, if you can make people laugh, then it changes everything. It changes every communication.
Mm-hmm.
And you can sort of, you can be really sarcastic. I mean, I'm incredibly sarky. So you can say stuff in such a beautiful passive aggressive way and you're actually delivering a killer line.
Yes.
So I learned that. But also, I say this quite a lot, but I do believe it's true. I come from the Northwest. I come from the Wirral, which is near Liverpool. And, you know, the cliche is everyone's funny up there. But there is a lot of humour from
yeah.
there.
Yeah.
And so my family were funny. And I think we didn't do emotions very well. I don't think we still do. But we did humour to cover it all up.
Yes.
And
yes.
I think humour has been a survival technique since I can remember.
That's like in Scotland, there's a saying called, you have to laugh or you'd greet. You know, to greet means to cry. And it means you have to laugh or you'd cry. And it's about why, and it sort of explains why. And I think it's also to do with class, you know, working class places where times are hard, that humour is used to sort of deal with a lot of process, a lot of difficult things.
Mm.
Yep. And I think that's what makes, it's kind of like, that's why all these places have, like, you know, you're saying, you're talking about what I'd call patter. That mm-hmm. The way you engage is in a very sort of pattery, kind of fun, but jabbing at people all the time kind of way.
Completely, completely. And also, you know, and I guess this is where I got into stand-up at one point. A, I do like attention. I like applause. It also, it allowed you, if you can make people laugh and listen and you can communicate something to them, I think there's nothing better. It's a huge rush. And I mean, as much as I like doing all the acting that I do and the TV stuff, there's nothing like being live on stage, I don't think.
Yeah.
Nothing.
And just going back to the Wirral for a bit, like, what was that like knowing you were gay growing up around there? What, did you have mates who were gay as well, or was it quite isolating? And
well, growing up, I was asexual.
Right.
That was my sort of, and there is a kind of a joke that goes, you know, disabled people come in three categories, male, female, and asexual, because
really
we're not really seen as sexual beings. We're not. So you get programs like, there's a program called The Undateables, and it's like, oh, isn't it lovely, these two disabled people find love. It's more, you know, and if they can, then we can feel better about ourselves. So it's not really, you know, I was never, it was, I kind of wanted it, but I wasn't seeing relationships with people like me on TV.
Mm.
Yeah. And I certainly wasn't seeing queer relationships.
Mm. No.
So honestly, although I went to an all-girls school, I don't think I thought about it. And I mean, I didn't go out with a woman. I've actually only been with one woman, which is my wife, my recruiter lesbian, my wife.
Well, recruiter lesbian.
She proudly says that. She's in the room here now with our three black cats. So,
okay, we won't say a word.
It's fine. Well, together we are Jizz. She's Joe, I'm Liz. So our combined names.
That's hilarious.
Which we like.
That's funny.
We like to. When was it? Spinning in my head about when was the first time I was aware of kind of sexualized expressions of disabled people, and I don't know when that was. I mean, I guess what was the first sort of time you saw it?
So, I mean, I'm not a stupid woman. I did quite well at school. I go to university. I still don't think I don't know how I'm going to have a relationship and who with, you know. I remember thinking, I'm really embarrassed to say, I'm like, probably there'll be a doctor, because they'll know what to do with me. I mean, you know, horrible stuff. But I went on this course with other disabled people. Didn't really want to. I was a bit like, I'm not like them. And then I went on this course and I was like, oh, my God, I'm exactly like you. And I kind of got politicized, completely politicized as a disabled person. I didn't see it as the tragedy, as the individual tragedy that most people do. I was like, oh my God, we're a group. We're oppressed by barriers and discrimination. There's something to fight for here. It's like racism and sexism. Now I understand it.
Mm,
right. And it gives me an external thing to fight about. And, you know, and I don't have to be able to walk to have a good life. I need to fight for places to be accessible and attitudes to be different. And once we took the guilt away from me and put it onto the responsibility, collective responsibility of society. Light bulb moment, changed my life.
Really?
And that weekend, I also met my soulmate, Sue Croshaw, and she was older than me, but she was married, and she was a sex kitten, and she was all those things and lived on her own with her husband. And I'm like, oh, huh, okay, fine, it's going to happen. I hadn't seen it, and I didn't see it on TV, I guess, to answer your question, which... You know, what did we have? We had that guy on Crossroads. I'm talking to someone, I'm 48.
Sandy.
So what else was there? Was him on Crossroads. There was a woman on El Dorado a bit later on. Yes, she's about my age, There was Reach for the Stars. You know,
you've what was got, that? What's Reach for the Stars?
That's that Douglas Bader film.
Oh, I see, yes. Douglas Bader, for those of you who don't know, was a Royal Air Force person, and he lost his legs in an accident, and then but he triumphed, and he got kind of prosthetic legs made, and
that's right, and his wife stood by him, and you know, and all that. So you're kind of like, right, so I've got to become a hero, or something major, so
or my wife will leave
war.
Me
need a war,
a good war.
And then everything changed, because I you know, I was free. I went to university. I traveled. Travel was my real love. And the more that I traveled, it was interesting how many gay prides I seemed to fall into and turn up at. So I found a natural allegiance with queer, with kink as well. They were much more interesting communities and much more welcoming communities than mainstream. So I found my place on the outside.
That's interesting.
And on the fringes. And then I kind of, I found women attractive. I found men attractive. So yes, I'm married to a woman. I would guess that I'm bisexual, but yeah, I don't feel I kind of was holding it in and not being able to express it. I think, you know, as soon as Joe said to me, come with me to that bar and I'll make it worth your while. Well, I felt the juices flow. That's all I'm saying.
Was that her opening? That really was her opening gambit.
Yeah, she's love shy. That. She's a baby butch, a beautiful baby butch. She's really shy, and we were at a works thing, a BBC works thing together, and we were celebrating a year of doing a podcast back in the sort of 2000s.
Yeah. You were one of the first
pioneer.
She was like really shy, but she came up. They were off to another pub, and I was like, "No, I'm not a big drinker. Don't really want to go." And that's what she said. Her opening line to me was, come to the pub, I'll make it worth your while.
Wow, that's fantastic.
Which still makes me go,
need a moment.
Fanning myself like I'm wearing crinolines.
Well, this would be where we would have a commercial break if we had commercials to let Liz get herself together.
So that was it. And then it was a couple of months, and I kept thinking about her and vice versa. Nothing really happened. And then it was a leaving do at BBC Television Centre at the bar there. Mm. You know, managed to get her phone number by the end of the night. And that's it. We were texting all night, dated a week later. Date started on Friday. She left Sunday night.
Oh.
So, yeah, that's it, really. That's, you know, and we've kind of, that was 13 odd years ago. So.
That's beautiful. Oh, and I was, I always feel if you've read something on someone's Wikipedia, you have to confess because it's the most lazy journalism. But I did read on your Wikipedia that you had...
But we tragically read Wikipedia pages together. Yeah. That's how tragic we are. We're like, ooh. You and me, Chris.
Yeah, we're like, oh, look at this.
Lavish research.
Yes, but your wedding sounded amazing. Tell us about that.
Oh, yes.
It's funny because Joe, as I said, is shy. And it's not like we believe in the importance of marriage as a construct and as an idea. And it's really funny. Another lesbian couple of friends of ours were getting married, and they were like, yeah, we're doing it for tax reasons. And we were like, oh, we just want a party and presents. So we decided if we were going to do it, we were going to go big. And we'd both lost really important people to us over the years. I talked about my soulmate. I'd lost her in my 20s. Wow. Joe had lost her dad and other relatives, of course, natural in life. And so we plumped for Day of the Dead. So we got married on November the 1st, which is the Mexican or the, you know, celebration, not just Mexican, of that's where the dead come back.
They come back, yeah. Oh, how lovely, yeah.
So we thought we can have everybody there that we want. We can have the dead and the living.
Oh, I love it.
The dead were cheaper, which was great.
They didn't eat much.
Didn't need to feed them, so that was fantastic. So we had all the Mexican, the papels, the paper banners, lots of candles. We had a balcony, so when the person said, you know, you may now kiss the bride or kiss each other or whatever they said, on the balcony, a Mexican mariachi band appear.
Fabulous.
And start playing, you know, la 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 la. Nobody knew apart from us.
Wow.
And it was quite something. And our wedding dance was pre-filmed because, again, Joe's shy. And we've been to too many weddings of disabled people where it's all a bit mawkish around the dance because people are a bit like, oh, how are they going to dance? Oh, how do they do it?
Do the first dance.
Their little broken legs. How do they do it? You know, they're just like, it's horrible. I mean, to be fair, I'm thinking that as well. So I hate the wedding dance. I hate it for everyone.
Oh, I hate it.
It's awful. It's awful. And then that awful moment where, like, the best man or the dad has to come on and just everyone. No, but it's just awful. It's awful. Someone should direct those. That's what you could get a sideline in, Christopher Sweeney, directing the first dances at weddings.
I'm going to quote Adele here, who said, "I ain't fucking doing that. I got enough on." When someone asked her about.
Well, it is kind of that. So we did. We had a video of it. We went to Pineapple Dance Studios.
Oh, amazing!
Oh, wow!
And learnt the Dirty Dancing dance
and had
it adapted for us wheelchair wise.
Wow.
And learnt that. So,
and how did you go up at the end then?
So what we did, because we filmed a lot of it, and we had.
That is such a good idea, by the way, to film your
dance.
I've
never heard that.
Sure.
Such a good
what
idea.
A fucking brilliant idea.
Yeah. Because it took the stress off. And if,
absolutely.
You know, it's fine for me being an exhibitionist, but if yes. your plus one isn't, that's
totally.
Not. That's
and
not
then there's
fun.
No pressure. You're not worrying about it all. Yeah. All day. I mean, you've got enough to worry about when you're getting married.
So we got, because we did it at our hen night, and we had a burlesque themed sort of hen do. So we had both Joe's friends and mine. And this is a ragtag bunch of all kinds of straight lesbians, stone lesbians, butch lesbians, you know, flamboyant femmes, loads of disabled people with all kinds of God knows what's wrong with them. And all doing burlesque. So the burlesque teacher, Jo King, was there, amazing woman. And we're doing it in Islington on the high street, on Upper Street. And
on the street?
Next, yeah.
Oh,
and
great.
The venue is next to the fire brigade. So she goes in and gets some firemen, so they do the lift.
Wow. Ah, oh, that's amazing.
It's bonkers, really. But, yeah, a lot of fun. And
oh, I'd love to see really. That. That sounds
it's on, I think it's on YouTube.
Shut up. Is it
on YouTube?
Wow.
Well, it wasn't on your Wikipedia, so how are we supposed to know?
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello? Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Well, no, what's really funny about Wikipedia is that they've got my medical condition on it. Okay, so there's a thing in this world, if you're a disabled person, then people are obsessed with what's wrong with you.
Yes.
But they've got it wrong.
Oh, my God.
But somebody once put, they've assumed what I've got. They put it, and now everyone, that's all, because everyone goes to Wiki.
But, and then it's so difficult to correct your own Wikipedia page. Have you tried, Liz?
No, because I quite like this.
But you like the fact that it's the wrong...
Because people always want to know, and I think it really tells you nothing about who I am. I mean, imagine if we'd started this interview and I tell you what's wrong with me.
Yes.
You don't learn a thing about me, not really. You get a Latin term of 8 syllables. Do you know what I'm saying?
So
it kind of amuses me. But somebody from, like, a trustee from the charity of this other condition contacted me. We'd like to invite you to the board of trustees. And I said, the problem is I don't have that condition. And they were like, yes, you do. You do, because it says so on
Wikipedia. She's like, with a wink. I won't tell anyone if you don't. We've got a fundraiser.
It was a contents.
That's hilarious.
Oh, my God. Yeah. One of the things we were talking about earlier, you know, is Assisted Suicide, the musical, which right, I came to see.
You did.
And I love. It was brilliant and it was funny and it was so you.
I think that's a good thing. Okay. Yeah. Carry on. Yeah. Say a bit more
only
about
problem
that.
With it was so you. But no, it was so funny and touching and mischievous. I always think of you in mischief, and but it made you think. And actually, you know, from an education standpoint, I was actually really fascinated by your take, because I didn't think that would be your take.
Well, I think I wrote Assisted Suicide, the musical, and devised it with the cast. The idea originally came from. I thought the title was amazing.
Yeah. Yes.
But absolutely, when people hear the title and that it's me doing it, they would assume that I would be pro assisted suicide and euthanasia. Mm. And that's because of how I appear. I look frail and little and like I've been ill in my life, and I have. Mm. And of course, most of the people that we see talking about this when we're asking to change the law, they are people that look like me or who have become disabled usually. Mm. So I think the assumption always is, gosh, if you were like that, probably you would want to end your life. Mm. And in actual fact, my experience is that particularly those who've been disabled most or all of their lives are fighting like hell to stay alive. Mm. It's actually the opposite. Doesn't mean that everything's rosy. Doesn't mean that they don't want choice and they don't. But actually, they're really quite concerned. I had been on Newsnight. I had done a thing with Terry Pratchett on where he had talked about changing the law, and I put the opposition view. Mm. But the problem is, the only people opposing assisted suicide publicly, because no celebrity is ever going to put their name to this, because you get a lot of vitriol and a lot of hatred. Mm. So the only people saying this is not a good idea are the Catholic Church. Ugh. So on any debate, there'd be me and the bishop, for God's sake. And you're on a... You're sitting there in his mitre, and then there's little old me, and then there's all.
Did you have your feathers on the back of the wheelchair?
I mean, to be fair, at least I could win the gay male contingent, I think. But, you know, the fact is, you're just not going to win when you've got particularly a liberal voice saying.
It's sort of a sexy thing, isn't it, in terms of the way people support things in our society right now.
Mm. Absolutely. And none of us want to be seen. It's seen that if you're saying, I don't support it, you must be therefore supporting suffering. Mm. You see what I mean? If you see assisted suicide as ending suffering, then not wanting a law must mean you encourage and want suffering. Mm. And of course, that's what you're trying to put across, is actually you can oppose it for reasons that are about, you know, I look at the NHS and I go, really? Do we want it to be in the hands of the NHS? God love them. But they've got enough on their plate.
Yeah.
And you can't even get an appointment to go to your GP. So why would you then trust a GP that you hardly ever see?
And also,
this major decision.
As it moves more and more towards becoming a commercial entity, then they need that bed and it's not making any money.
So is it sort of that also you see it as a kind of a slippery slide towards sort of eugenics and becoming more prevalent?
Yeah, I mean, it's really hard at the moment as well, because we've been hearing that there's more calls for it in different countries. And, you know, at the same time, I'm part of a demographic as a disabled person who are most affected by COVID and whose lives are disproportionately being lost due to COVID. But equally, there were, you know, at the beginning when this was all coming out, certainly in the UK, there were horrific guidelines about who would get treatment and who wouldn't.
Mm.
And that's when you see, you know, the thing we're going to see with COVID over the next few years, I think particularly with the vaccine, is how we value and who we value.
Mm, totally.
This is not just, this is about disability by any means. Mm. And so whenever I campaign, I guess, on assisted suicide, I'm kind of saying, there are whole groups of people that I think, need to be careful, who aren't treated well by the healthcare system, by the welfare system, even though relatively we're treated pretty well compared to most countries, actually. Yeah. But it does worry me that countries where they have introduced it, and I toured all of those countries, ooh, lucky me and Joe, that it does lead to kind of, it starts with just those who are going to die soon and the terminally ill. But then it becomes, well, that's, hold on, that's discrimination. Because what if you've been living with pain?
Mm-hmm.
And what if you're going to live until you're 60 or 70, but in pain?
Mm-hmm.
Shouldn't that person have the right to end their life more than somebody who's about to die in a month? And it's not saying we shouldn't have these discussions, by the way, at all. But it's kind of going, instead of the slippery slope in the musical, I called it the liberal wedge.
Oh, yeah, go and explain that. I remember that.
Well, an example of it would be civil partnerships for gay people. So it began about us. It began about us wanting the same rights as everybody else. But then non-gay people wanted the right to a civil partnership.
Oh, yeah.
So as soon as you grant rights and make it about rights and discrimination, then it has to be across the board. So civil partnership should be for everybody. So assisted suicide shouldn't just be for those at the end of their lives. Should be for everybody. And I guess one thing I kind of, this is where it began from. There was a case on TV. This is what took me onto Newsnight. There was a young guy and he had been injured in a rugby accident and he had become quadriplegic and he wanted to die and he went to Dignitas to die.
Mm-hmm. Could you just explain what that is?
Sorry. So Dignitas is a place in Switzerland where wherever you're from in the world, it's the one country, Switzerland, who accept anyone from anywhere in the world if they want help to end their life.
Right.
So it's an assisted suicide clinic.
Right.
And certainly in the UK, it's the one we hear about a lot.
Yeah.
Is Dignitas. But there are many others there as well. And he wanted to go and he begged his parents to go. Now, there's two things to say about this. This is not about him and this is not about his parents and what happened. This is feeling so sad. A guy who had this accident, so his life, he's gone from being this happened when he was playing rugby, so that suggests a type of guy,
yeah,
type of young man, his world ahead of him,
yeah.
And he then becomes a wheelchair user who can't move from his neck down. He's in mourning. He's got a lot to deal with,
yeah,
and he just wanted to die. And so within, I think it was just over a year of that happening, he went to Dignitas and died. And I think big change like that
takes
a long
time. Yes, exactly.
There's a lot of grieving. There's a lot of finding who you are. A lot of shit stuff.
Mm.
I mean, and again, I'm not underplaying that. But the press almost unanimously were saying how brave he was and how brave his family were for letting this happen.
Wow.
So me going on the TV going, I don't think it was brave. Why are we not asking, why did this young man want to end his life?
Mm.
In the way that we do about any suicide normally.
Yeah.
When somebody wants to end their life, we do everything we can and we should to give people that hope or to say, why do you want to end your life? Can we do anything to stop you doing that? Normally we do. But when it's an assisted suicide to do with disability or illness or age, we suddenly stop asking that so much.
So the mental health part was totally not included in the equation.
Absolutely, because the mental health, the way the mental health goes is if you're like that, of course you'd want to die.
Mm. This sort of societal tacit agreement that there are certain versions
absolutely
of life which aren't worth living.
It's fascinating.
And I think that's it. So my kind of, there's a song in the musical, and I don't sing throughout. I'm not particularly a singer. But the idea with musical theatre and the reason I chose musical theatre is, you'll know this, Alan, is that you sing in musical theatre, in a musical, when words aren't enough, when speech is not enough, when you can't be heard and say the emotions in any other way. And so I knew I could not debate this to a wider audience in any other way than creating a sort of comical, easy to digest piece of theatre.
That's a really clever use of the musical form to get
that kind
of message across.
And I sort of felt that, like a musical, we were all clapping along. Mm. Saying it was a good, I go to musicals and I just love the scent. I don't even care what I'm singing.
Mm.
And I felt that about this as an issue. I felt like people are just going, hey, I'm singing a lot, and weren't stopping to realize the words were coming out. But I didn't have the words anymore. and I had so much passion that so there's one song, the main song that I do, and it's basically sort of saying, I know that you couch this in terms of choice. Choice is such an important thing, we think, but actually we don't really have that choice. We don't have as much choice as a society that you'd like to imagine. Mm. And sometimes having choice is a bad thing. Mm. So my fear is for whole groups of people that if we allow assisted suicide to be easier, I'm not sure that that's a good thing. Mm. Because I'm not sure we're doing all the other things to make their lives better.
Right, right.
So at a time when particularly poverty and austerity and the value of certain groups of people is kind of very much in the, you know, in the news and on the agenda, is making it acceptable a good thing? Mm. Don't know.
And our health services absolutely crushed with you can sort of imagine that, oh, an easier option, a cheaper option. All those things could come into play.
I really feel, I mean, and I get this because I can be looked at in two ways. If people know that I've been on telly, you know, that status that seems to confer, you know, so I can, so I have helpers, personal assistants, and paid for by social services. So absolutely, we're in a great country that I have that. Because I couldn't go to the loo and do things like that without these people. So not so many months ago, but before sort of lockdown and COVID, I was trying to get a cab. And the cabbies often don't want to stop for a wheelchair user because they'll have to stop and get the ramp out. God. So our technique is I hide and then my PA goes and she hails the cab. And then when they've stopped, I come out like, ha-ha, and it's much harder for them, right?
You can't do it then, yeah.
That's it. So that was happening. And I couldn't get through. It was a busy road and I couldn't get past. But it was a wide road. There was no reason. It wasn't raining. And she's speaking to the cabbie. He's like, what, you want the ramps? He said, oh, it's just too much faff. No, he wouldn't get the ramps out. She gets into a row with him. I can finally make my way over to the cab. He sees me. But if it's for her, of course, any day. Gets out the cab. But there's people, you know, I get looked on in two ways. There's either people that see me and give me more value than I deserve in a way, but just because I'm on TV.
Mm, yeah.
And the power that confers. And there's a whole other group of people who don't know who I am and just look at me with such contempt and who I know must think, I know this because we talk about it in the musical and it is a cliche, but a thing that happens, is that almost all visibly disabled people have at some point been asked, you know, or said, if I was like you, I think I'd rather be dead.
Wow.
Ugh. God.
You know, and in fact, even the night that you know, that I met Joe, or properly met Joe, when she said, I'll make it worth your while.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
By the way, she didn't make good on that promise that night.
Well, she's a lady.
It's worked out.
She didn't specify a time zone. Right. A time scale.
This is true. She did not specify a time. But we're outside the pub, and I'm with the podcast people, and it's a disability podcast. So there's two blind people with guide dogs. There's a man, Matt Fraser, who I did the podcast with, thalidomide, so, you know, short arms. There's me. We're a gaggle, okay? We are a gaggle. A homeless woman comes up to me and puts a pound coin on my chair.
God.
So I'm working at the BBC.
Oh my God.
I'm not in dire straits.
No.
But a homeless woman thinks I'm more deserving than she is. Oh. And again, it's not about her, bless her, giving me that. That's really generous.
That's lovely, yeah.
But it states how I can be seen.
Guys, that's fascinating.
I love Liz. That's the end of part one. Part two is also available in your feed. Go and have a listen. It just gets better and better with her. I love her.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Powered by Spirit Studios.